It's 4:07. I just thought it'd be easier if they took the wheelchair up and I crawled up the stairs. So I had to get out of my wheelchair and get onto my stumps and hands and just crawl my way up, because that was the only way I was getting to work on time. Now, that's an actual true story from a Sydney commuter who could barely use the rail system because it was impossible to navigate with his wheelchair. And ABC investigations found more than 1 in 4 stations in the country is not independently accessible for those with disabilities, injuries, or for the elderly. And Queensland rail stations are some of the worst. 44% of them are completely inaccessible. Jeff Trappett is from the disability advocacy group Inclusion Moves. Jeff, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Kelly. How are you?
Good. Did this come as any sort of surprise to you?
I've been asked that a number of times over the last 24 hours, and unfortunately, I've got to say no, it didn't come as a surprise at all. These are issues that people with disability have been dealing with for a number of years now, with governments just not taking the legislative responsibility seriously, and it's something that's got to change.
What sort of things are missing? What sort of accessibility items are missing from our train stations so that people with all sorts of disabilities can catch public transport?
It varies. It varies from, as you mentioned in your intro, a station may only have stair access. A station may not have tactile indicators, which indicate to a blind or visually impaired person where the edge of the platform is. It varies station to station as to which accessibility items are non-existent. But the fact of the matter is, if they're non-existent, then that station is non-compliant, and that's how we end up with a figure as low as what we did.
Which ones would be the worst? Which ones do you get the most complaints about?
It really depends on that. It really depends on the person. The issue with train stations is your local station is your local station. Exactly the same as an able-bodied person. I'm asked to find people to speak on transport issues, and sometimes I struggle because if a person doesn't have access to a station, then they simply go, well, public transport isn't for me, and that's not a situation we should be in 2018. We should be able to know that a person with a disability has just the same access to public transport as any able-bodied person in the community. And that's just not happening.
And it's not just people in wheelchairs who would have difficulty, although for them, you know, it's another level of non-accessibility. People who have medical conditions, for example, yep, where they can't walk far distances, or where they, you know, they can't, well, even those ramps, which can make it easier for some, are still going to be impossible for others.
Exactly. The changes that are made to a train station to make it accessible for those that have got the obvious disabilities are also changes that make a station more accessible and more appealing to all of the community. Mm. We've got a large ageing population that may well not identify as having a disability, but they sure need those accessibility features to be able to access train stations and access transport. That's the kind of business modelling that Queensland Rail needs to start doing and seeing the lost opportunity that they've got.
Now, I want to hear from you this afternoon. If you can't access your train station, if you have difficulty getting from one side to the other, for example, that can be a big problem. Or if you know someone who can't get access to public transport because of the lack of disability access, 1300 222 612. And where do you have those problems? I have an email here from Queensland Rail. On the line with me, Jeff Trappett from disability advocacy group Inclusion Moves. And Jeff, it says that Queensland Rail is investing in upgrading station infrastructure to be more accessible through the $300 million Station Accessibility Upgrade Program. Now, they do say that of the 152 stations on the Southeast Queensland Rail network, 80 are independently accessible, so that's just over half. 48 provide assisted access for customers, and 24 have stair-only access. Uh, those those figures, yeah, it must be a bit disappointing for those with a disability.
It certainly is. We had a Transport Minister, Minister Bailey, who stood up in estimates this year and admitted that his government would not meet the disability standards for accessible public transport guidelines by 2020. For a government minister to admit that years out is just unforgivable. It's like a police minister standing up and going, we've given up on crime, we're just not going to make it. You should not be giving up on people with a disability, and that's unfortunately what this government seems to be doing. They've thrown their hands up in the air and said it's too hard.
Jeff, where they have made changes, stations such as Graceville, Nambour, Alderley, Newmarket, Dinmore, then they've been part of the station accessibility upgrade program. What difference has that made?
It opens up that section of the community, Kelly. For a person with a disability, without access to a train station, that entire community is non-accessible to them. If that's their way of getting around, then their life is segregated way more than what an able-bodied person is, and that's just not a situation we should be. We should be able to know that a person with a disability can wake up in the morning and get to where they need to get to. They shouldn't need to choose houses or choose workplaces that are nearby train stations that are accessible.
You know, it's interesting because you don't think of these things sometimes until either it's you or it's someone you know who has a disability, or suddenly, you know, they do, where they haven't previously. And the things that you've got to think of, it takes you by surprise. I know with somebody I have in my life who has difficulty walking long distances, not even long distances, but even shorter distances, that, for example, getting on the train at Morningside from the inbound side, it's all fine, it's very easy. But once you're on the outbound side, the only way to get up is a very long sort of ramp that you've got to get up and then go across and then go down another very long ramp. And that's one solution. But if you're not in a wheelchair and it's walking, that's incredibly difficult. And for elderly people who aren't in wheelchairs but have, you know, knee issues or whatever, it could be neurological issues, that makes it almost impossible to get, you know, inbound, great, outbound, you're done. And there's no other way to get out there. It really does cut you off from doing certain things.
Absolutely, it does. This is an issue that needs to have people with lived experience involved in working through these solutions. Queensland Rail has just employed a senior manager in accessibility that has no accessibility experience. I'm supposed to show up at a meeting, volunteer my time and negotiate station upgrades with someone who doesn't come from that background. The disability sector negotiated with people who didn't come from an accessibility space on NGR, and we now have a commission of inquiry. So they're just simply not learning from their mistakes.
And the dogs aren't happy about it either. in the background there, Jeff. That's okay. Now, I've got Meredith from Warwick. I'll just keep you there, Jeff. I've got Meredith, who's from Warwick, on the line. Hi, Meredith.
Hi, Kel.
What have you found?
Oh, well, we came back from Japan recently, but even at the air train, when you have your luggage or suitcase, you can't just wheel onto the train. You've got to lift your suitcase up into the train and then the step up. And I had a dodgy knee, and it's quite a tall rise that you step into. So it was awkward. I thought, I'm going to have to go on the knees and then crawl over and climb up the pole.
Is that what you had to do?
No, dug deep. But, you know, you've been sitting for a flight and what have you, so you're not as limber as perhaps some other times.
Yeah.
And then when you get off, you've got to, you know, step down. So you've dodgy knees. Whereas over there, you wheel into the train, you wheel off the train with your suitcase, no problem.
Yeah, and that, and once again, people who are able-bodied, you don't think anything of, oh, there's a little bit of a step down there and I'll just drag my bag off, all is well. But it doesn't take much for that to be really difficult for you, and especially if your bag's a bit heavy. Rolling it off is all right, getting it up isn't. And then even putting it on, I know that storing it, for example, in some of those areas where people get on the train to, let's say, they're getting on at Roma Street and going out to the Sunshine Coast, because a lot of people do that, having to lift their luggage up into those compartments. If you're elderly or if you don't have a lot of strength for whatever reason, that becomes very challenging.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's where you hope there's some dashing knight to help you.
And often there is, luckily. Meredith, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye now.
There's Meredith at Warwick. And we've got Bill at Ipswich as well. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Kelly. My beef was about the Orchid Flower Station. Last summer, I broke the tendon on the back of my leg.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a leg in plaster and I was on crutches. Now, the ramp from this platform up to the top there is extremely steep. Now, this is a major station for people accessing the Wesley Hospital.
It is too. That doesn't make sense.
Yes, and also too, the second thing about that is on the coming back to Ipswich side platform, the awning there doesn't give you any protection at all from the hot sun. And I've come back numerous times while I was disabled, the train that I was meant to catch was cancelled, so I sat there for an extra half hour and in the blazing sun, because the awning doesn't give you any protection whatsoever.
So it's not just about access then, it's about actually not getting sunburned while you're standing there waiting.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
And my main thing is the very steep ramp. Now, they've done up a lot of lesser stations with lifts, but that one being the only station for the Wesley Hospital, I think that, that's a bad one to overlook.
Yeah. Bill, thank you for calling in.
Okay.
Bill at Ipswich. And that's a good point, because a lot of people, Jeff, end up catching public transport because trying to park near a hospital means you have to sell a limb or your firstborn child to pay for it. And that, once again, something that you don't think of if you're able-bodied is how the heck am I going to get down here?
Orchid Flower is a perfect example of the incompetence of deciding and upgrading stations. It's been on the list to do for a number of years now, and the Queensland government has never been able to negotiate with the Wesley Hospital on the exact plans on how to do it. It's only since the new Greens MP, Michael Berkman, has got involved that Orchid Flower is finally actually looking as though it may be upgraded soon. But it's been way too long as Bill said, for a major station to be right next door to a hospital and not be able to be accessed is unforgivable.
Well, we've got just in this press release again from Queensland Rail, it says works are underway at Morayfield, Strathpine and Boondall stations, and planning and design work has started at Albion, Buranda, Cannon Hill, Fairfield, Dacobin, Orchid Flower, East Ipswich and Logan Lee. So they're obviously next on the list somewhere. But as you were saying, there may not be anything happening there to 2020.
There's a long time frame between design and construction. We saw that in the budget this year. There was a lot of there was some money put aside for design, but there was absolutely none for construction on that list that you've just listed. So that shows the timeframes that we're dealing with here, and people with disability are still stuck on that island of inaccessibility in the meantime.
Trish has called in from Belmont. Hi, Trish.
Hello, Kelly. How are you?
Good. What's been your issue?
At Murray Reeve Station on the outbound journey towards Cleveland, it's not just getting to and from platforms, but it's actually stepping down from the train onto the platform. The camber of the lines, it seems to not just push the train away slightly from the platform, but it's also quite a step down. And for someone who's elderly or has knee issues, it's quite a struggle to actually get down off the train.
Yeah, once again, for those who are able-bodied, it's nothing. But then if you look at it and you do have a knee injury, or your balance isn't quite right, that even that 20-centimetre drop, it can look like a mountain.
It's quite significant.
Yeah.
I mean, I consider myself reasonably able-bodied, but I still have to hang on to the handrail and sort of ease my way down, because it is such a steep step.
Yeah. Mm. And I don't know what can be done about those sort of things now, but they're something that needs to be considered. Trish, thank you.
No worries. Thank you.
And I suppose these are long-term issues, aren't they? I mean, Jeff Trappett, train stations that were designed, you know, however long ago it was, 60 years, whatever it has been, dealing with modern trains and modern stations, it's a bit of a mixed bag across the southeast corner.
It is. The issue of raising platforms is one that comes up all the time. And the situation for a person with a disability at the moment on a platform that isn't raised or a low platform is that you end up with a direct assistance model. So a guard or a station staff member brings out a ramp for you to be able to get access into the train and off the train.
Mm.
Now, whenever there's an option between a built environment or a structural way of getting around an issue and a staffing one, I'd take the built one any day, because staff, unfortunately, will be unreliable. They can't be across the entire station at every point in time. They cannot possibly meet every train. We've got some stations where they've got island platforms, so that means that a poor staff member has to go up and down stairs just to be able to get to the train to provide the access. That's a recipe for people to be missed and left behind.
Yeah, can't the guards do that rather than the station master or mistress? Or
it varies. It varies across the model of trains. It's become a little bit more complicated now that NGRs come in, the new generation rolling stock.
Mm-hmm.
The guard on an NGR train is at the very, very rear of the train. So they would be walking quite some considerable time to be able to get to the centre of the train, which is where a person with a disability boards. So it's under an NGR train, it's more likely to be a station staff member. But unfortunately, we're seeing that system fail quite regularly where, that station staff member just can't be in two places at once.
Yeah. And just on another topic, Penny from Everton Hills has called in. Thank you, Penny, to say there's a breakdown or a crash on the Ted Smout Bridge. The right-hand lane is closed and reduced speed limits are in place. So if you're out that way, the Ted Smout Bridge, right-hand lane closed and reduced speed limits in place. ABC Radio Brisbane with Kelly Higgins-Devine this afternoon. And you're hearing about the disability problems that we have on our train network. Jeff Trappett is from the disability advocacy group Inclusion Moves. It's 24 past four. Peter is at Daisy Hill. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Kelly. I just wanted to say I use the Logan Lee train station. It's the only way that I can get to uni, and I get off at Bowen Hills. And I know it's on the upgrade program, but that's not till like 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But at the moment, when I go to uni, I see this guy in a wheelchair who's buff. I might, and he has to go.
Did you
up
just say
ramp.
He's buff?
Yeah,
rightio.
He's an awesome guy.
Yep.
But he struggles up that ramp, and he's strong.
Yeah.
So, and I also see a whole bunch of older people struggling to go up these ramps with heavy luggage because it's on the airport line.
Mm.
So any train that's going on the airport line's got people with luggage, and of course the NGRs don't have luggage racks.
Yeah.
There's nowhere for you to sit next to your luggage, so you can't get in there. But there's no toilets at Logan Lee station either, and no lifts. And like other stations, parts of it have awnings and other parts don't. One thing it does have, though, is those raised, just for the disability car, that raised platform.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get off at Bowen Hills, it's got the beautiful lifts and it's got a toilet, but the platform's not raised. And because I take heavy things to university all the time, it's like I'm going to the airport,
yep.
I almost fall out of the train and try and struggle getting on and off the trains at Bowen Hills. So it's a lot of issues that are kind of hidden, and I'm not even disabled.
It's interesting.
I just like a lot of stuff, you know.
Well, I was thinking of going from Roma Street to the Sunshine Coast on the train, and then I realised I'd be 2.5 hours without a toilet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just thought, oh, I don't know. Then nowadays, once upon a time, that would not have been a problem. And they can't guarantee there's going to be one, and it just kind of all adds to this. You know, well, I know a lot of people use public transport. I do to get in and out of work, but there are so many things that other people have to think about that they really just shouldn't have to.
That's right. And like the older trains, they don't have toilets. And and some of the uni students that I go to uni with, they're from the Gold Coast. So they're 2 hours on a train.
Yep.
And just like the
probably no lose there too.
The same. And we actually have to wait until the train arrives to see if it's a rolling, you know, an NGR train with a toilet on it before we get on.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that doesn't
and
help
that
the situation.
Ends it weird. I know, right? And there's a and then they can't even jump on and off, you know, to go to the toilet.
No.
Whatever. So it's just one of those things for us slightly middle-aged ladies.
That's right. They have no idea what we're going through, Peter. Thank
right.
you.
Okay.
Peter at Daisy Hill this afternoon. And honestly, you've got to be there to know. Denise is at Alderley. Hello, Denise.
Hi, Kelly.
Now, what do you think one of the issues is near you?
Well, I have a patient of mine. I'm an occupational therapist, and he has a mobility scooter, and it's about the crossing at Castledine.
Mm-hmm.
And the mobility scooters in Queensland are speed limited, and there has been a discussion about that on the radio. But what effectively it does for him is when the warning light comes or the warning sign comes at the crossing, then it's 10 seconds before the gates get closed.
Is that not enough time for him?
No, it takes him 13 seconds at maximum speed. So he's actually been caught inside the gate. And on one of the lines at Castledine, there's only like a couple of metres between him and the train going past.
Oh, God, that would be frightening and dangerous.
Absolutely. So we did get a meeting with the engineers, and it's on their list of things to do. And that was like about 3 months ago.
All right. And would that be a similar problem for others in similar circumstances with similar gate closures?
Oh, well, yes, yes. Well, this one is particularly hard because it's got three lines of train lines.
Mm-hmm.
And on one particular, like going one way, you end up being really close to the train. On the, if you're going back the other way, you're at least, you're still caught behind the train gate, but you don't feel like you're going to get run over. But it's very scary for him.
Oh, my gosh, that's awful. So yes. He's hopefully that situation. Were they open to the idea of making it 14 seconds so he can get through?
No, that's not their solution. They can't. That wasn't their solution. Their solution is to change the gate so that he can, the people can get through, which, you know, doesn't, and then that means that they have to put a concrete pathway from that gate. So it's a gate change and a concrete pathway. So we're not talking about mega dollars here.
Okay. And you're, as you say, still waiting for that.
Still waiting. And just down the road is a retirement village.
Mm-hmm. And it can take people quite a long time to walk that distance if you start and you're okay and then all of a sudden the bells start.
That's right, 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's... Once again, if you're able-bodied, things you don't think of. When all of a sudden you can't, or, you know, gradually, you can't walk very quickly, that's a very stressful and a very dangerous situation to be in.
It was. He actually did have something knocked off of his scooter by one of the trains on one occasion. So it is very scary.
That's awful. Denise, thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Kelly. Bye.
Denise at Alderley. Wow. That, can you imagine? You're in your mobility scooter trying as hard as you can to get across the train lines and the train knocks something off your scooter. Hello? Just shouldn't happen. It's dangerous and it's not the fault of the person on the mobility scooter. Thank you very much. ABC Radio Brisbane with Kelly Higgins-Devine this afternoon. Thank you for your calls. In a moment, we're going to see what's happening around Brisbane and the world.
Did you know you can listen to your local radio?